Podcast 70, The Three Wise Men. The Gospel reading for today's podcast is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Today, I will be speaking about the journey of the three wise men. This topic is usually scheduled for after Christmas in early January, but because we will be having a break from services at that time, I decided that now would be a good time to review this story and reflect on it. My reasoning for this choice includes that about now would be when the three wise men would be setting out on their journey of faith, not knowing what they would find, but going anyway, following the star in response to the prompting of God's Holy Spirit. The Gospel reading for today focuses on what is known in the liturgical season of the Church as the Feast of the Epiphany. An epiphany is a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. This feast celebrates the revelation of Jesus as the Messiah to the wise men who were Gentiles, as outlined in Matthew 2 verses 1 to 12. This epiphany also marks the commencement of God's master plan for the salvation of mankind, God bringing hope into the world. The three wise men are an integral part of the Christmas story. Today I want to briefly examine the part these mysterious figures play and what we can learn from them for our own journey of faith. So who were these wise men? How many of them were there? What were they doing in Bethlehem at the time Jesus was born? What were the gifts they brought, and what did those gifts symbolize? Matthew's term for the Eastern visitors is Magi, often translated as wise men. The Magi were usually found in a king's court and were a combination of astronomer, astrologer, and magician. They were not of royal blood or kings themselves, but rather advisers to kings. The term Magi was also commonly used from the 6th century BC for disciples of Zoroaster, also known as Zarathustra, a Persian religious leader who believed that there was only one God, that is, he was a monotheist like the Jews. Part of the job of the Magi was to interpret the signs of the heavens. Throughout the Mediterranean world at the time, both astronomy and astrology were intertwined and were widely respected as a field of respectable scientific endeavour. Any major event happening on Earth would be inevitably signalled by the movement of the stars and the planets. The most likely explanation for the star the Magi saw, according to modern astronomers, is a triple conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn, with the two planets coming close together in the sky three times over a short period. So you get an alignment between the Sun, the Earth, Jupiter, and Saturn. This would have created a very bright single light source in the sky, visible both by day and by night. This type of conjunction only happens once in every 900 years, approximately. How many wise men were there? Legend has placed the number variously from 3 to 12. Matthew's Gospel doesn't actually give us a number, just the number of gifts, the three gifts, which implies three wise men. In medieval times, they were actually named Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, but these names are not part of the biblical account. Most scholars tend to think they came from Persia or Babylon. Others have argued for the desert regions of Arabia. Despite the images we see on our Christmas cards, they probably rode on horses rather than camels. Why were they travelling? They were searching for the one who was born King of the Jews. But why would they do this? They were Gentiles who worshipped the one God proclaimed by Zarathustra. What possible interest could they have in someone being born King of the Jews? I believe the Holy Spirit was compelling them to go on this journey, to seek out this special child, in order to be a sign. The sign is that right from the very beginning of Jesus' life, the presence of the Magi shows that God is bringing salvation not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Both Jew and Gentile are present at this momentous event, according to God's premeditated plan. And it was not an easy journey. As they near the end of their journey, why did the Magi go to Herod? Probably it was a courtesy call. They were travellers in his territory. They knew about royal protocol, and doubtless Herod's very efficient spy network had been tracking their progress. They were not to know how savagely he would react when they did not come back to report about their discovery of the baby in Bethlehem. And why did Herod react so savagely to this announcement by the Magi? Herod the Great had been made the client king of Judea by decree of the Roman Senate and then the continuing favour of the Emperor Augustus. The precise title he had been granted by the Romans was the King of the Jews. So when these Magi or foreign royal advisers arrive in his court, Herod is alarmed to find that they are seeking one who has been born to be the King of the Jews, the exact same title the Roman Senate has awarded to him. His jealousy over this title and his ambition to establish a royal dynasty in his part of the world partly at least explain his massacre of the children in Bethlehem, seeking to stamp out this nascent king. What do the gifts of the Magi symbolize? According to tradition, the gold honored Jesus as king and symbolized virtue. Frankincense was an incense burned in places of worship and acknowledged Jesus as God and symbolized prayer. Myrrh was an aromatic gum used for embalming and burial. It foretold Jesus' death and symbolized suffering. Possibly it is from the gifts of the Magi to the infant Jesus and his family that we get the tradition of giving gifts at Christmas. In some countries, for example Spain, the gifts are exchanged on January the 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany, which celebrates the visit of the Magi to Jesus, rather than on Christmas Day itself. The year of the birth of Jesus was a year of radical change. God initiated his plan to save mankind. He gave Jesus to the world to bring hope to all people, both Jews and Gentiles, and to radically change the course of history. Looking forward to 2022, the world seems to be a perilous and uncertain place. For us personally, as well as the global future, 2022 may be a continuing time of uncertainty and some trepidation. However, we can take courage and comfort from the example of the Magi, whom God led and guided through an uncertain journey to a meeting with the Christ child. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." In the midst of the uncertainties, we can be confident that God has a plan for each of us for this new year coming, for us as a parish, for the Anglican Church in New Zealand, and even for the world. So what can we learn from the journey of the wise men to help us with our own Christmas journey more than 2,000 years later? Firstly, the Magi are an example of faith. They started out on a journey, not knowing where they would end up or how their journey would be concluded. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles who had no particular reason for seeking out the King of the Jews. Yet they are an example to us of faith which sets out, not knowing the end of the journey, yet trusting in God. The Magi were part of God's plan, heralding the salvation of all mankind. They recognized that Jesus represented hope for everyone, both Jews and Gentiles. Secondly, when they met Jesus, they bowed down and worshipped him. a child born in lowly circumstances to poor, unremarkable parents. And yet these magi, who were advisers to kings and lived in palaces, bowed down and worshipped him. So as we look forward to Christmas, let's be like the wise men. Let's have confidence in the reassurance of the plan God has for us personally, for our families and our parish and our world in the year ahead. Like the wise men, let's walk steadfastly and continue on our journey of faith. And as we go on this journey, let us bring our gifts to Jesus and worship him.